O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it's the first Sunday in Lent, and we've got a heavy baptismal emphasis. However, the first Sunday in Lent is customarily the Sunday where we remember that Jesus was tempted or tested in the wilderness. He was tempted by Satan. And in Mark's gospel, things move really quickly. In fact, we heard three different things from Jesus' life. Three verses on Jesus' baptism, two verses on the temptation, but not talking about make these stones turn into bread or throw yourself down from the temple or Jesus, check all this out. I'll give it all to you, Satan the deceiver said. And Jesus is faithful. He doesn't give in to the temptation. Satan who would tempt in order to destroy. And then we have Jesus' first words in his public ministry from Mark 1, 14 and 15. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand or drawing near. And Jesus says, an echo of John the Baptist, repent. And then he says, believe in the gospel. Believe in the good news. So first Sunday in Lent, Jesus is always the focus. But I want to focus for a moment on our reading from James chapter 1. Last summer, for Wednesday morning Bible study, Pastor Luke and I and the class went through James 1. It only took like 3 months, so it was actually very fast. I will say, in this is year B for our lectionary series. In September, we're going to get back into James. Maybe we'll preach on it then. I don't know. A lot could happen between now and then. Probably like chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5. But let's look at James chapter 1 just briefly and step through it, where St. James says, blessed is the man. And in the Old Testament, the notion of being blessed, and it's really true for the New Testament as well, is to be saved. When Jesus in the Beatitudes says, blessed are the poor in spirit, or blessed are they, it means to be saved. So saved is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And as we look at this and we think about Jesus, Jesus is the one who did withstand the test. He did not give in. He is the one who has earned a crown of righteousness. Now, what he gets, what he earns is a crown, but it's a crown of thorns. And it's a crown of thorns that he ultimately uses in order to save you and me. God the Father gives his beloved Son. He loves him so much that then he loves the entire world in and through his Son, in and through Jesus. And then we get more specific teaching from verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, well, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. For he himself tempts no one. God tempts no one. This is something that as Lutheran Christians, I hope that sounds familiar. God tempts no one. One, because it's a scripture passage. But it also has to do with something when we are praying. One of the petitions that we pray, you know this? One of the petitions. There's a prayer that has seven petitions. Getting warm, Reese? The Lord's Prayer, yeah. The sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. Yeah, you got it, you got it. I was telling Reese during the last verse of the hymn, be ready. You're ready, okay. Lead us not into temptation. And so Martin Luther says in the Small Catechism, what does this mean? It says, well, we pray in this petition that God would guard us and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature would not mislead us or deceive us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Those are not good things, great shame and vice. But that God would keep us. Because God tempts no one. God tests us in order to strengthen our faith. But Satan tempts us in order to lead us away, to destroy our faith. But Jesus is faithful. So James then says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed, these are my emphasis added here, by his own desire. The inclination of our hearts, of yours and mine, is not naturally or by default toward God, it's toward evil. This is what we confess week in and week out. This is certainly the emphasis from Ash Wednesday, from Psalm 51, where Psalm 51, verse 5, David says in the midst of his confession, where his pride is killed, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And we're just reminded of that in baptism here, where Zachary's family confesses that he's born sinful, by nature unclean. But it's the holiness of God, the washing and cleansing of God that comes in and through the blood of Jesus that makes Zachary and you and me righteous. Jesus himself would say of the things that defile us, it's not the things that are outside of us that mess us up so much or make us unholy. It's what comes from the inside, what comes from a heart that is turned away from God. And so that's why we hear from Jesus, repent, turn. God says, turn your hardened hearts toward me. Turn and live. And then James says this, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. This little thing turns into a big thing. It's I think it's Lenski is his name. He says that sin is pregnant with death. I mean, whether you're into sci-fi movies like the Gremlins or something where they get a little water on them, it's like the opposite, and they don't turn into something good, they turn into something bad, or aliens or these little things where these little eggs and they spread and go everywhere. Sin is pregnant with death. Sin is 100% fatal. Sin makes us less than human. It makes us subhuman. Adam and Eve were not created in one way, and then God says, and then you just add a little sin in, and then they can become what they really are supposed to be. No, sin is fatal. All sin leads to death. No sin does not lead to death. I know I'm saying the same thing there, double negative. There's no carve out. There's no exemption for sin. There's no loophole. Well, some of these sins are okay. No, all of it leads to death. And then James says this, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Don't be deceived in the way that Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan, who is the father of lies, who is the father of darkness, who is the father of death. Don't be deceived. Because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. We're going to sing that for the communion hymn. Life as God's child, just as we saw and were reminded of again today with Zachary, begins as a gift. And it is gift, gift, gift all the way. Now, I don't know for some of you to what extent. I don't have any Steve Miller Band songs today. Sorry, Pete Bolden, Pastor Luke. I do have a reference from the movie The Wedding Singer, where at the beginning of the movie, this lady, dear lady, puts these meatballs into Adam Sandler's hands, and she just wants to see him enjoy them and just shoves them into his hands. A good gift. Enjoy it right now. Don't take it home and put it in the refrigerator. Just enjoy it. I want to see you enjoy it. Well, God the Father gives us these gifts, and he gives gift, gift. It is gift, grace, all the way. And God said yes to you. God said yes to you. He said yes to me. It's like Popeye or something here. I loved how it got louder and louder, more excited. So, Pastor Luke, I was waiting for you to do some hand motions. God said yes this morning to Zachary. He says yes, amen. His promises, he doesn't change. He doesn't go back on his promises. He is faithful. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, from God the Father, who is a Father of life and truth and light. And of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Of his own will, Pastor Luke, it was will. You had trouble on that part. Will, desire. This is what God wants. He wants not the death of a sinner. He doesn't want to see people suffer. He wants us to turn toward him and live. Live. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from death. Turn away from the things that entice, that seem to be something that you want, but actually are empty and lead you toward misery and loneliness. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. The word of truth, the one who is the word made flesh, his name is Jesus. And of his word, and notice this in Mark's gospel, that Jesus comes and he proclaims the word. He says, repent and believe, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. He not only proclaims the good news, he is the good news. Repent and believe the gospel, the good news. So contrary to sin, which brings forth death, is pregnant with death, God's word brings forth life. It is teeming with life. And in baptism, we are brought from death to life. And just because you sin, so Zachary is baptized. Amen. But he's probably still going to sin. He's going to return back to his baptism, that he is baptized. His family is going to remind him of that. The church is going to remind him of that. The Holy Spirit remind him of that. Now, Satan would want us to believe that, well, just because you sinned, now your baptism is untrue. It invalidates your baptism. That is false. Sin does not untrue your baptism, because God doesn't change. The focus is always Jesus, always Jesus. So the hymn that we sang, and maybe some of you know it as God's own child, I gladly say it. And then what do you say it? What does it say up here? I am baptized into Christ. We're going to say that four more times, so you're going to know it. This is really important. I am baptized into Christ. I don't want you to just think of it only as a past tense event. I was baptized February 5th, 1978. I was baptized. Whether or not it means anything for today, I have no idea. False. I am baptized. That little linking verb there, first person singular, present tense, I am, I equal baptized. I am baptized. It's a confession of faith. If you confess nothing else, you don't have to confess the Apostles' Creed. You don't have to confess the Nicene Creed. Some of you I know love the Athanasian Creed. No. Remember, you confess all those, but remember this. I am baptized into Christ. He, God, Jesus, because I could not pay it, paid my full redemption price. Do I need earth's treasures many? No, because I have one, Jesus, worth more than any. That brought me salvation free for me. Jesus paid the full price, lasting to eternity, last forever. Eternal life for the Christian, for Zachary Tyler, for you and me, begins not when you die an earthly death, but when you are taken from death to life in baptism. We're living eternal life now, but the best is yet to come. Sin, disturb my soul no longer. Why? Yeah, that's just like we're getting a call and response. You see, Pastor Luke, we're getting warmed up here. I'm baptized into Christ. This is fitting also, if you haven't watched, and I know we're up to 180 subscribers on YouTube, smash that like button or subscribe. Our lesson this week, and Pastor Luke will be covering it up in the sanctuary, I'll be covering it in the music room, is on the blessings of baptism this week. And it just worked out so well. We got a baptism here in the service. Everything came together for the text. And this week the focus is on the blessings of baptism. And one of the things, as we think about the temptation of our Lord Jesus, who is faithful, that sin, see, Satan wants us to be disturbed by sin, and we should be disturbed by sin from the standpoint that it's not okay, but it's not the thing that defines us. We are children of God. We are baptized into Christ. We have comfort even stronger. What is it? Well, it's Jesus' cleansing sacrifice. And should a guilty conscience seize me, and it may, and it will, John Kleinig, Australian Lutheran theologian, he says that nothing darkens a man's heart or a woman's heart more than a guilty or an unclean conscience. Should that seize me? Since my baptism did release me in a dear forgiving flood, sprinkling me with Jesus' blood, because we're baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection. Okay, get warmed up. Verse 3. You got a part. It's coming up here. Get ready. Satan, hear this proclamation. Yeah, this is like the video where the kids got louder and louder. Yeah. I am baptized into Christ, so drop your ugly accusation. I am not so soon enticed. Because now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled. And against your tyranny, Satan, who is a tyrant, God, my Lord, unites with me. Because you're baptized into Christ. Through this water, still wet, Pastor Luke, you're baptized. I was going to hit everybody. Well, I got some of you, but I didn't know if you were afraid of germs. You're baptized into Christ. Don't forget it. You're still wet, right? You get wet. I'm baptized into Christ. Not just a fact of the past, but a present tense reality. Uh-oh, now we're back at Ash Wednesday, though. Death, you cannot end my gladness. Why not? Now, when I die, I leave all sadness to inherit paradise. But remember, from dust you have come, and to dust you shall return. And we can say honestly, directly, look, I know that the wages of sin is death. Death is what I deserve. And though I lie in dust and ashes, faith's assurance brightly flashes. Because baptism has the strength divine. Its baptism has the strength because it's all about being connected to Jesus, to his death and resurrection to make life immortal mine. And then verse 5, your part's at the end, so just hold on here. There is nothing worth comparing to this lifelong comfort sure. And so you can look at this and you say, well, that's really morbid, and literally it is. Open-eyed, my grave is staring. Yeah. Unless Jesus comes back first, we're all going to die. And we can say it. We don't have to pretend something else is going to happen. But even there, I'll sleep secure. And the Psalms talk about this so beautifully, that for those who are in Christ, death is like sleep, because you wake up again. Though my flesh awaits its raising, still my soul continues praising what? I'm a child of paradise. You see, because what's next? The rest of the story, even yes, in the first Sunday of Lent, is that Christ is risen. You and me and Zachary are baptized into Jesus in his death, but also his resurrection. I know I've shown some of you this before, but you notice here it's Jesus who is pulling Adam and Eve out of their graves. And there's Satan bound and down there in the ground. And the chains are broken. The sin that he would want to hold over us, that he would want us to despair and die, is swallowed up in the end in victory. You're baptized into Christ. It's a present tense reality. It is a confession of faith. So when you're tempted, you say, wait a minute, I'm baptized into Christ. When you are consumed with whatever it is, small or big, wait a minute, I'm baptized into Christ. When you are doubting, and Satan would want you to doubt that God actually loves you, no. I'm baptized into Christ. When you are distraught about anything and everything. I mean, if I were an IU fan, I would be distraught at this point after losing to Michigan State. Fairly sizable lead, Michigan State, not very good this year. You know what? That's not what needs to define you, because you're baptized into Christ. Nebraska's basketball team, not very good this year, lost to Purdue yesterday. That's all right, Pastor Luke. You're baptized into Christ. Even when your team wins, Pastor Troy, that's not the most important thing, because eventually they'll lose, because it's Purdue. Doesn't matter. I'm baptized into Christ. When you are overjoyed, you're baptized into Christ. in anything and everything. Remember, not only tell yourself or tell the devil when he tempts you, but tell your brother, tell your sister, tell your neighbor, I am baptized into Christ. And that does not come untrue, because God is faithful every day. Faithful now and faithful to eternity. To Christ be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.